This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 14. As Thanksgiving has come to a conclusion, the Rangers are in a playoff spot, and the Black Friday game against the New York Islanders has been canceled due to a COVID situation with the New York Islanders. So it's a little damper of a Sunday since the game is canceled. But I gotta ask Andy, how was your Thanksgiving and how was your weekend?
It was good. Got to drive upstate to me and my wife to spend Thanksgiving with my mom, which was nice. Got to sit on the couch the next day, all still filled with tryptophan and stuff to the gills, and eat some leftovers and watch the Rangers beat the Bruins, which I was, you know, was an iffy proposition going into it, if the Rangers would be ready to beat a team that, even though they might not be what they were the last couple seasons, because they've lost some pieces, but they're still a dangerous team and I would say an overall strong, well-coached, strong team. So, yeah. I'm doing good. You know, obviously it's a bummer that the game they were supposed to be playing tonight, as we record this on Sunday, against the New York Islanders at the Garden was canceled due to COVID. But you know, I'm really surprised it took this long for the league to finally step in and do, you know, shut that the Islanders down. So it is what it is. The Rangers schedule is pretty compact coming up, so maybe a few extra days to, I guess depending on how you look at it, a few extra days to rest might not be the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, they're clearly in a rhythm and on a roll, and now they play a Flyers team that is not having the season they want, but are still could be dangerous, so on Wednesday. So yeah, you hope they're not too overconfident going into that game. But we'll see. Like I said, I'm doing good. The Rangers are, American Thanksgiving has passed by. The Rangers are in a playoff spot and they're, you know, hopefully they can at least keep going here for the upcoming month of December.
Yeah. And if you look at the New York Rangers and where they are in the standings and the little statistic that you always see is that the teams that are in the playoffs come Thanksgiving are, you know, pretty much a lock for the playoffs come, you know, towards the end of the season when the season is over and the postseason actually begins. So there are obviously probably a couple spots up for grabs. I would imagine those wild cards are going to look a little bit different. But for the most part, as of right now, with the way the Rangers are going, you would have to think that they're not only competitive for a wild card, but there should be no excuses for why they're not in the mix for a top three spot in the Metro. And, you know, you look at the two teams that they're fighting for that's right above them is Washington and Carolina, and those two teams don't lose. You know, Andy, if you're the New York Rangers, what's the mindset right now going in, you know, into, you know, the, I guess I should say the second trimester of this season where, you know, it's kind of this is where you kind of want to find a rhythm and just keep humming along and, you know, never get too far up and never get too far down and just kind of be even keel, find your game, work on your game, you know, try to really, you know, harp down on the details of special teams to help you win these, you know, tough games as December rolls around and pretty soon you'll be in the January, February mix where it's just, you know, you just hope that there's no injuries and you kind of just want to keep rolling along. So Andy, you know, if you are Gallant, what are you telling the boys right now as December is about to begin?
You know, I'm telling them that, I mean, maybe I'm not saying it, phrasing it like this, but you really do have to take it day by day and keep trying to improve, even though they've had a good stretch here, but they're going to start off the month with some teams that maybe aren't so great, but the tail end of getting into January, it looks like their schedule does not get much easier because at first, you know, we have the Flyers, Sharks, Hawks twice in a row. So that the next four games are winnable games against teams that are struggling or at least not the upper echelon of the league. Then you have a game against the Avalanche who are absolutely murdering people. but then you have a little respite against the Sabres. But then you have a Predators team that's starting to find their footing. The Avalanche again, the Coyotes again, who are not such a great team. But then you have the Golden Knights. And now we're in mid-December. So their team is starting to hum along here too. Then you have the Canadiens and the Red Wings, which, you know, again, two not so tough teams. And then you have the Panthers, the Lightning, the Oilers, the Golden Knights, the Ducks, who are surprising. So, yeah. And, you know, they see the Maple Leafs again and the Hurricanes for the first time. So, yeah, I think that's the thing, is that they're this year. I don't know. We spoke about the parity in the league a couple podcasts ago. And now I think you're either bad or you're pretty good, you know, and I honestly, when I look at the teams that are just flat out bad, there's really not as many as you would think. I think it's more even the teams that are might not make the playoffs or who are off to hot starts. They're still playing well enough to beat you. So you can still, you know, Pittsburgh, who was humming along, got beat by the Canadiens the other night. The Ducks, even though they're most likely probably won't make the playoffs, they're in a great rhythm, and their young guys there are leading the way. So, and the Blue Jackets, who were kind of in a little shell shock coming into the season, have also found some consistency. And even the Kraken are starting to rattle off some wins after playing well, but just being unable to score goals. So, yeah, I think a lot of teams are water is finding level, as it were, with a lot of teams in this league. And some of the teams that have looked maybe didn't get off to the start they wanted are now kind of firing on all cylinders. And, you know, teams maybe like the Sharks, who were off to a hot start, you know, are they're on their way down, but they're kind of scratching and clawing to stay where they're at. So, yeah, like I said, I think it's right now it's important to take it day by day and game by game. And yeah, just don't live and die. I think the biggest thing for this young team will be just keep not getting, like you put it perfectly, not too high, not too low. If you have a loss, it's not the end of the world. And if you beat a team that's maybe not so good, don't think you can then just, it'll come easy the rest of the way, you know? So, yeah, not too high, not too low.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at the schedule, like you've noted, so many games, you know, you're playing a very good team in the standings, and then you're playing maybe a poorer team in the standings. And, you know, with this Rangers team and them being so young and just, you know, the sample size that we have so far of this season, you know, this team can't take any games off. They can't even take a period off, because they usually find themselves down a goal or two. And, you know, the games that, you know, you look at, you know, the Vancouver Canucks, who are maybe a weaker team, and the Ottawa Senators, you know, those teams, they come out to play and they play physical, and they can counter that physicality that the Rangers have been bringing. So, you know, the Rangers right now, they cannot afford to take a game off, take a period off or two. They cannot afford to, you know, go 0-4, 0-5 on a power play for the game. Like, these are the things that, you know, are imperative if the Rangers want to be consistent in point percentage towards the end of the season, and especially the middle of the season. And, you know, you hope that the Rangers aren't just an outlier where they find themselves cooling off and then kind of settle in as a team just being competitive for the wild card, which, you know, given our division, it could happen quicker than you think. You know, you mentioned Columbus, you know, Pittsburgh has kind of righted the ship. They're playing a little bit more consistent. I know they had a big loss, you know, big loss for us against the Canadiens. You know, the Devils are in a little bit of a skid, but, you know, they've also played two less games, and they'll be right in the mix if, you know, they win those games in hand. You know, Flyers are always going to be a pain in the ass for the Rangers to play against. And then you look at, you know, how competitive Detroit's been. Boston, thank God we can get into that game a little bit too. You know, how you know, pretty good they've been. They have 20 points and 17 games played, so they played four less games, and, you know, they'll be right in the mix, you know, once they catch up. And even, you know, you can't write off a team like Buffalo. You know, they're primed for an upset. And, you know, this New York Rangers team has been very steady right now, very, you know, cool, calm, collective. But I'm afraid, given the youth and given some of the leadership on this team, like a Kreider, you know, if those guys cool off, you know, the Kreiders, the, you know, the Panarins, the Zibanejads, and you can't rely on Fox to, you know, kind of carry you every single night, you know. you know, I'm afraid of those, you know, the Dryden Hunts and just the secondary scoring that we've been able to have. You know, I'm just afraid that everything is going to cool off all at once, and we're going to find ourselves on a, you know, 4 or 5 game skid, which could happen very quickly given the New York Rangers and their schedule, where, you know, it's kind of up and down of the talent in terms of who they play against. But, you know, right now you really can't knock them because they've been winning games, and a game that you and I probably in our mind penciled in as a loss, they won against the Boston Bruins. And I know at the beginning I said the Black Friday game was canceled. The Black Friday game was not canceled. They won that game. The game Sunday night against the Islanders, which was would be tonight, has been canceled because of COVID. But Andy, I really want to get into this Boston game a little bit because you kind of saw a different New York Rangers team, right? You know, you see the beginning, they kind of fall down, you know, they get a goal behind, and I'm just thinking, you know, we're right, you know, it's just not going to be our day. And, you know, Boston is just a team that has way more experience and, you know, veteran leadership. They have, you know, the best line in hockey. They're just going to pull this one out. Rangers are going to have problems scoring. But sure enough, the Rangers kind of just hung around. They righted the ship after an awful first period where they just generated nothing and, you know, found a way to win and win in a commanding way. Like, just the tale of two stories here in this game. So what were your thoughts on the Boston game?
Yeah, obviously they got off to a piss poor start, but again, it's a 1 p.m. game on the road the day after Thanksgiving. So they don't get a morning skate. They traveled probably on the train early that morning. It's just, yeah, it had all the makings of, it wasn't surprising to me that they came out a little flat or were trying to get up to speed, you know, sweat last night's dinner out of their system a little bit. But like you said, they hung in there. Obviously, Strom getting that that goal late in the first was huge to at least say, listen, we got lucky there because they could be up 3 goals. And yet it's a tie. It's basically the slate is clean here. And I think that just kind of showed that, well, A, obviously defensively, I thought the Rangers were the better team. They've clearly have missed losing a lot of the defensemen they've lost in the past. Obviously, McAvoy's great, but the rest of the pairings for the Bruins weren't all that, were running around a bit in their own end, and they had no answer for some of the nifty passes that Strom and Panarin and even the Rangers' top line was Banajad and Kreider and Kako were making. And so, yeah, it was, like I said, once they just didn't let it rattle them, and that's kind of how they are now. And, you know, it was obviously Julien Gauthier's coming out game, if you want to say that, just because that line has been good the last few games. And, you know, lo and behold, for the Panarin goal, I think the Rangers were in the midst of a line change for whatever reason. So instead of Hunt, who has been on that line with Panarin and Strom, and Hunt has a nice goal, obviously, off of a juicy rebound, but he jumps on the ice, or he's still on the ice in the midst of a change, breaks up, uses the speed that we've seen him flash in his strength to kind of just blow around a guy and makes a picture-perfect pass to Panarin in the slot, and then does it again to Lafreniere. So I was ultimately really impressed with, it seems like the young kids are, it's not even just tertiary scoring, or they're not so much passengers, and they're a big reason of why this team is winning games, because versus the Islanders, they get contributions for their Rooney and Reeves on their fourth line. They're getting contributions from, even if he's not scoring, he's creating in Hedl and his newfound vision. And Lafreniere obviously has that nose for the net. He knows where to be. And now if Julien Gauthier can just use that speed to match Hedl's and also drive that line a bit more, that's, yeah, I mean, clearly the Rangers are the beneficiary of that, and Panarin's playing out of his mind. And I will say this, even though the top line didn't pot one that game, I thought they looked good with Kako up there. It was a little surprising considering that, you know, everyone thought Kako was finding some consistency with Panarin and Strom, but they had their looks. At one point, you know, Kako had it on his backhand and was trying to outweight Jeremy Swayman, you know, waiting for him to go down, and he gets it, but he has it on his backhand. It's just, he can't outweigh the goaltender, but it looks like he's got a yawning net. And he just barely misses. And then another on the rush, Kreider gets it to Kako, who then puts it back to Zibanejad, who is a wide open net. And Swayman makes a hell of a save just getting his paddle on it. So it was an open net. You know, it's elevated puck by Zibanejad. So he does everything you have to do. It's just a hell of a save. So a little bit unlucky, but they were creating. So yeah, this team is clearly just finding the consistency and the chemistry and is getting better and better and better. And it was really promising, because in the end, it was really scary there for a few times, you know, especially when the perfection line was on the ice. They clearly can find each other anywhere, because they just have been playing with each other for what, 4 or 5 seasons now. So, but the Rangers haven't, with new line mates and a pretty new system and a new coach, they haven't been had. You see that that chemistry and knowing where your line mates are starting to form. And I think that's helping them. And they're definitely, even though they might not be shooting the puck as much as we want, I think they're still, in terms of the amount of quality they generate per shot, is among the highest in the league. And you see them scoring a lot close to the slot. You know, even Panarin, hell, was in the scored his goal right in front of the goaltender, where usually he's more picking corners or getting it from farther out, where he's just buzzing the tower at the right time and batting it out of the air. So obviously it was a good sign to see them beat a team that's no slouch in the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the GOAT, and in particular with 2 assists on the game, and like you said, a kind of coming out game, and you just see his size and the way he uses his speed, his confidence is just, you know, through the roof right now, with his ability to, you know, kind of handle the puck and make plays and, you know, just be a competitor out there. Is this a product of Gallant's system? Because you didn't see any of this last year with Quinn. You know, I don't know if he was just too tentative and afraid to make a mistake, but you just feel that under this system, these guys are just, you know, confident in making plays and just trying, you know, they're, you know, just kind of throw the puck across the crease and, you know, knowing that a guy is breaking there, but, you know, before, if that gets intercepted and it might go the other way, and now all of a sudden I'm going to be benched for the third period. You know, you kind of don't feel that way. You know, these guys are taking chances. They're making plays. They're, you know, I know to a fault, they might be overpassing, especially in the offensive zone a little too much. But, you know, again, Andy, like guys like the GOAT, if we can get contributions like this, and even Hunt, I know he wasn't here last year, but, you know, I feel like they're almost similar players in which, you know, their efforts are, you know, paying off right now. And I know they're not the greatest players, and, you know, they don't have the greatest hands, and they're not the best playmakers in the world, but, you know, you show a little bit of effort, and, you know, your line kind of buys into that and, you know, maybe creates their own lane for themselves, and you dish a pass or cross, or you go to the net for a rebound and it pops out and you're able to finish. You know, it just seems like these two players in particular are really benefiting from this Gallant system.
Yeah, exactly. And again, whether it's that line, which has been good at least playing in the opposing team's end, even though they weren't finding the goals, now they're finding the goals. And now you kind of see some of the goals the other lines are scoring are fairly similar. Well, I mean, we could say Reeves pulling out hands we didn't know he had against the Islanders, although in fairness you could say it was the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, or excuse me, whatever they are now. I think they're the Bridgeport Islanders now, but whatever. But yeah, it just seems the team is really zeroing in on how Gallant wants to play, and it's not like they've totally abandoned the east-west tendencies that they've always had because of the amount of skill they have, and I think you're never going to breed that out of this team just based on how their minds work. But a lot of it at least has to do with cycling, and not so much every goal is off the rush, which is obviously good when you can pull it out when you have an odd man rush, because like Gauthier recognizing and turning on the Jets or Hedl. But it seems like the Rangers of the past few seasons, how many of their goals were these beautiful goals that are made by flying down the ice, which is all well and good, but you're not going to be the benefit. You're not going to get that in the playoffs. You might get one if you're lucky, like you said, if you recognize a good break, but for the most part, the teams that are there are good, too good at clogging the neutral zone to let you do that. But scoring goals from the slot and by cycling the puck once you have possession of it, and finding passes across the Royal Road and just causing chaos with your forecheck, and getting off of rebounds and screens. Those are the goals this team is converting on right now, and those are the goals you're going to need to have any success once you reach the next level. So, yeah, it was obviously the whole game. The game as a whole was a pretty promising sign for them, but they have to keep getting better because, as nice as it is, you understand the Bruins maybe aren't what they have been the past few seasons, and they have some real tests coming up here. So, yeah, not too high, not too low, but just take it as what it is. They clearly, every time we hear the beat writers say practice is real loose and light and everyone's smiling because they're winning. They're not losing, and guys are having fun. And, you know, as long as they learn to associate fun with winning and know that you have to do it. If you want to keep having fun, you have to keep winning. That's all you can really ask for.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. And DraftKings is giving customers free shots at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, and every game is going to be crucial because if you look at the standings right now, you know, I know the Rangers have been, you know, they've won 3 in a row. They've won, I think, 7 of 8. They're just humming along here, but kind of so is everybody else. I mean, Columbus is 12-7. Pittsburgh is 10-7. Carolina and Washington refuse to lose. I know they played each other, so a winner had to be declared today. And
it almost went to overtime, which I would have been furious about. But the Caps pull out the last minute heroics and score a goal with like 3 minutes left in the third. So they end up winning that in regulation. Thank God.
Yeah. And, you know, and between those two teams, the winner of the division might come down to actually regulation wins. So that could be huge. And they both have 14. So if it comes down to, you know, the middle of the pack teams like the Columbus, the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, Philly and Jersey, I'll throw in there, and even the Islanders. I mean, this whole division, you know, the Islanders, once they get healthy and they kind of get back on the right track, I mean, you're going to see them win 8 of 10 games. You're going to see them, you know, 20 games. They can probably go, you know, 14-6 or 15-5. No problem. Once they get on track, they just need to get healthy. I refuse that they're going to finish at the bottom of the standings. They're just too well coached team. They still have, you know, a lot of the players that they had last year. I just don't see them as the bottom feeding team that they are right now. You know, the new building, COVID, just so many things, so many factors really affecting the Islanders that, you know, I think the second half of the season, you know, that's a team that you got to look out for. Again, I said this before the last podcast, if you're a gambling person, might not be the worst bet right now to pick the Islanders to win the Stanley Cup, because they can certainly get themselves out of the trenches. So Andy, you know, the one thing, you know, I wanted to talk about is, you know, given the teams, Columbus, Pittsburgh, we'll kind of leave it with two from each division, Detroit and Boston, you know, of those teams, you know, they're going to make up probably the wild cards, right? You know, and I won't even, you know, limit you to those teams in particular, but they're the ones that are going to be fighting for it right now. You know, who are you afraid of? And, you know, what are your thoughts? Like, are the Rangers going to cool off and be fighting with these teams, or are these teams going to cool off a little bit? You know, what are your, you know, thoughts as you kind of enter the middle third of the season?
I think you're going to see some teams level off, but at the same time, like you said, other teams will get healthy. I mean, Pittsburgh is finding their footing again. And listen, they still don't have Evgeny Malkin. So You don't know how they'll perform once he's there, and guys can slot a little bit lower in their lineup because the way they performed early on without even Sid there, they're so well coached, pretty admirable. Do I think the Blue Jackets are as good as this recent stretch says they are? No, I mean, they have some good players there, and they might have a little bit of a not having to deal with Torts screaming his head off every day. They might, you know, have some sick, but I ultimately think they're maybe not as good as they are right now. But at the same time, Oliver Bjorkstrand's really emerged as a great player in this league, and they still have Patrick Laine who can fart out goals, and Voracek's not even, I think he's leading the team in points. He's not washed up. He's got the poise, and you know, sometimes it can rejuvenate that guy. I think Philly's going off the rails, so I don't think the Rangers really have to worry about them too much. I think they're just so sick of Alain Vigneault in that room. And it's just like Vancouver Canucks told Rangers fans it would happen. It happened to them. You get the one season pump of getting him in there because it's a new voice and he's kind of hands off. But then you realize that his system ultimately is, it's just not responsible enough, and he's just he just two hands off the wheel and lets things get out, and then just kind of blames his players, and you have just nothing but hurt feelings. So I think the Bruins are what they are. It's interesting to see if they'll try to bolster their back end depending on what they are, but at some point they're gonna have to start retooling a bit. Although when you think about it, they already lost Char, but outside of Bergeron, Pastrnak's still pretty young. Marchand will probably hold on for a little bit longer, but who knows what Bergeron wants to do as he's getting a little bit longer in the tooth. The Devils will get Jack Hughes back, so they could maybe push. I ultimately still don't think they're good enough to make the wild card, but you know, right now, looking at the teams right now, I could see maybe the Blue Jackets falling out and potentially the Bruins sneak in, or hell, even Detroit. They've been good, and they're outside of the Maple Leafs, and I don't know. I mean, obviously the rest of their, I look at who's behind them in the Atlantic right now. I mean, Montreal, Ottawa, and the Sabres are all bad. So they might be in a good spot. The Red Wings could make it. You know what I mean? It's just going to be, come down to it's what, yeah, I mean, it's, they'll ha- obviously, I think their only competition is Jersey if they can find some consistency once Hughes is back. But other than that, I mean, yeah, so I think it's, thank God the Rangers were able to bank those points early on. But yeah, they have some tough stretches coming up, and they're still very much a work in progress. And it'll be interesting to see as they get closer to the deadline what type of moves they make, because for all this talk of them wanting to find another middle six forward who can kind of slot anywhere, you would have to think, as much as I am excited for the future of a Nils Lundqvist, and right now the Lundqvist and Nemeth is where they're the most vulnerable, I guess you could say. So finding a defenseman who could slot in somewhere in, finding at least an NHL quality defenseman at this point in time would be probably pay huge dividends for them. So yeah, who knows? And I mean, if Seattle can't, I know they just named him captain, but if Seattle can't put enough wins together, I wonder if Mark Giordano's available, or if Montreal's new president of hockey ops, Jeff Gorton, wants to, who's very familiar with some of the prospects in our system. Maybe a guy like Jeff Petrie, who's getting long in the tooth and is a very good defenseman. Maybe, I don't know, who knows? Maybe there's something to be done there if he can retain some salary. So I think that's where the Rangers need the most help, because I think that would go, if they had one more real solid defenseman, I think it would kind of shore things up for them a bit, because obviously when Nemeth and Lundqvist on the ice, sometimes it's a bit of an adventure.
Yeah, and I would also kind of like another NHL forward. I know it doesn't have to be great, but even if it's just like another Rooney, just someone, I know we have McKay kind of in the arsenal and stuff like that, but you know, if we can just get another NHL forward, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable. I just have a feeling with this season coming off a COVID year, which is shortened season, not a lot of traveling, and just kind of everything, you know, taking, you know, bit by bit step, you might find a lot of injuries towards the middle end of the season. And I just think it's really imperative that the Rangers find a little bit more depth on the forward end, even if it means bringing in a fourth line player that, you know, everyone kind of rolls their head about. I think that would also pay dividends too. You know, I just think, you know, it might be a little too early to call in some of the rookies like a Morgan Barron, because they're just not used to, you know, being maybe in a playoff race and, you know, feeling the pressure of the New York media as the New York Rangers approach, you know, the midst of the season, you know, in a playoff spot. You know, I don't know if you want to put that kind of pressure, and you don't know, you know, if that can really hurt their development. So I think that if the Rangers brought in, obviously you said it, you know, an NHL defenseman, that would pay huge dividends, but also another forward, you know, a third or fourth line guy that you can kind of plug in anywhere. If you brought in, you know, someone like that, I think that would be, that would be huge too. So other than that, Andy, you know, I do feel confident. I do worry a little bit about Pittsburgh. I just think, you know, when healthy, they're a team that is just, they're too well coached. They have too many good players. Kapanen has seemed to be taken off for them. And it's just like one of those teams that, you know, I call them, you know, the Patriots of the NHL. They just next man up and they find ways to win. And Pittsburgh, you know, they always get off to little slow starts, and then, you know, they find themselves towards the top of the standings, especially in the Metro. You know, they can feast. You know, I'm not writing them off. And then, you know, I think the Islanders will eventually turn it around once they get healthy and once they get used to playing a normal NHL schedule. So look for those two teams, I think, to sneak into the wild card. Pittsburgh, if there's one team that can probably knock us out, it's certainly them. Which I worry about, because I don't want to be a wild card team. I don't want to have to play a Florida or a Tampa or Toronto in the first round. And I certainly don't want to have to play, you know, I ultimately think Carolina Hurricane team will win the Metro, and I don't want to play Carolina. I think that, you know, little PTSD from, you know, a couple of years ago where the Rangers got absolutely demolished. I know, different team, different coach, just different everything. But I don't want to play Carolina in the playoffs. You want to, if I, you know, want to be truthful, Andy, I'm a little scared. All right. I'm scared to play them. So, you know, that's where I am right now. Other than that, Andy, I think, you know, the one thing I did really want to bring up as, you know, it was a little slow week here, although, you know, it was kind of busy on my end, the Lemieux situation, you know, ex-Ranger, Lemieux bit Brady Tkachuk's hand in the game against the Kings and the Senators last night. Now, listen, Andy, before you say anything, I want to give you my version of it. Not the biting. Like, obviously, that was crazy. But why is this, like, news to me that Lemieux is kind of like a scumbag and has always been a scumbag? Because I didn't think he was really that bad as a New York Ranger. Like, I thought he was, you know, his demeanor was fine here.
Yeah, I mean, I had heard and read some stuff about Lemieux in that he was much like his father. He was at times deemed a little bit of a prick. But, you know, I mean, maybe you expect a bit of that. But, you know, A, when you're not as good of an NHL or just a hockey player as his father was, it definitely comes with a little bit less of a shelf life. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe Lemieux was traded, like, in his final year in the OHL, his team was a contender and they traded him away, even though he was effective at doing what he did because he was a bit of a headache. And I think there are reports have come out that he was a bit of a headache when he was in with the Manitoba Moose, and even his time trying to find his way in the Winnipeg Jets lineup when he was within that organization. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it doesn't, I don't know if it really surprises me. And listen, when stuff happens, people are quick to, and I'm not defending the bite because, you know, I think that's a bush. If he bit him, which he most likely did, I think it's a bush league move. You can't do that. Like, you have to have some decorum. It's not a street fight, even though you're like, oh, we're in a scrum and we're swinging at each other. Yeah, there's some barbarism in hockey, but come on, you know, you're not biting people. And obviously with the climate, with the COVID, that makes it, yeah, seem even a little bit more, I don't know, just icky, but or iffy. But Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people are gonna pile on and try to throw some stories out there that may or may not be true or that they were hearsay. So, and again, I'm not trying to defend Lemieux because I wasn't all that upset. Not that I like, you know, he was fine as a Ranger. He was at times he did what you wanted him to do, and that was great. And then there's times where he took dumb penalties, and that's kind of his deal. And apparently he hasn't really grown all that much. He is still a pesky bottom sixer who takes more penalties than he draws, and that's kind of it. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't all that surprised to hear everyone coming out of the woodwork with a story about like, oh, when he was in junior, I heard he did this, and like, I heard they hate him in this locker room and that. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a bush league move. You can't bite people. That's just, you know, you can't lick people, as we've seen. You certainly can't bite people. It'll be interesting to see how many games he gets. And yeah, I mean, obviously Tkachuk was incensed, as he should be, getting bit. You don't expect to get bit in a hockey game. And it's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it just kind of lends itself to sometimes these guys, maybe it's a microcosm of why guys go over the line sometimes, is that it's just like competitive juices. And it's like, fuck this guy. Like him and I we're locked in it. They're wrestling to the ground. It's swinging. And he's like, God, he's trying to. And, you know, sometimes, who knows, maybe he felt that Tkachuk was getting on top of him and putting all his weight and he couldn't breathe. And he's like, you know, screw this guy. I'm going to like get him off me or whatever. You don't really know how it goes down. But yeah, it's I wouldn't be surprised if people have been bitten in the NHL in the past, or at least maybe 20, 30 years ago. That I would imagine that went down more than you might think. But yeah, obviously in today's NHL, you absolutely cannot bite someone. So. Yep, he's going to get it's probably true, and he's probably going to get a lot of games. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, disgusting move. I mean, biting someone in general is just really disgusting. And biting someone in the midst of a hockey game, like on the hand, you think it's in the glove. Like gloves in particular smell disgusting. I can't imagine, you know, Brady's gloves being, you know, in anything special. Like his hands got to be disgusting. But I also do know, you know, he's a big, you know, Brady's a big boy, and if he's, you know, kind of pinned you to the ground, you might panic a little bit and bite. You know, but you can't as an NHL player bite someone. And you know, it's just funny that, you know Tkachuk has those words for him, because I kind of see Tkachuk as that type of player too, a little bit of a scumbag, and kind of, you know, has a little bit of swagger with him because of who his father was. And you know, it just obviously it's a little bit different with Brady given his skill level compared to Lemieux. But overall, you know, I never expected it from Lemieux. I kind of thought he went in New York, he was a little bit of an overrated fourth line player. I think people liked him because he worked hard, always had a black eye. I think New York kind of bought that kind of the hype around him. But
I mean, overall, he also brought an element that this team severely lacked.
Yeah, needed. Right, exactly. But I mean, just wasn't the guy to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, Ryan Reeves, since being here, hasn't taken a single dumb penalty. He honestly doesn't play too crazy minutes. And I don't really remember, you know, maybe outside of that goal, the tic-tac goal versus the Bruins the other night, I can't really remember Reeves being on the ice for a goal that I was like really upset about him just being slow as molasses. So I just...
No, it's only Tenardi.
Yeah, it's only Tenardi, really. So... Yeah, I just think once you realize, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, by all accounts, it sounded like for a while there, he was trying to establish himself in the Kings' bottom six, and he was sitting for a little bit of the season, but then he was drawing back in the lineup. And yeah, I don't know. It's just the whole point is that even if you lose the fight, you get props for being tough and showing it to your teammates. So you have to have the wherewithal that you're, you know, even though you're, and listen, I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, if Brady was on the way down, was like holding him in an uncomfortable area or putting some pressure somewhere or close to his head or whatever, just isn't something that set him off. But no excuse. You can't bite people. It's disgusting. Don't do it. And yeah, but I did want to use this to transition because we talked about the Bruins game, but we didn't talk about the incident with Marchand and Panarin and Panarin throwing the gloves and then summarily getting fined $5K by the league. What's your takeaway from all this? How do you feel? Do you think it was like, do you think they should have did something more with Marchand, or do you think it's much ado about nothing? You think it's just something that happened in the game? What do you think?
Well, I don't fully know what Marchand did to actually set him off. The last thing I read was that he was saying some like anti-Russian stuff. But you know, overall, you know, if it was really that egregious or like really that personal, I feel like, you know, Panarin wouldn't have thrown a glove. Like, it almost had to be like just a little playful taunting, you know, between both of those players. And, you know, Panarin's just like, you know what, screw this guy, and just threw his glove at him. I love it. I think it's an excellent move. If I'm Drury, I certainly pay that fine for him, even though the quote was unbelievable. You know, the basically $5,000 just to drop in a bucket because his GM is paying him $11 million to play hockey. So money well spent. Yeah, it's just a very odd situation. I kind of like it. I kind of like the throwing of the glove because it's really not going to hurt someone, but it's also disrespectful enough to be like, you know, honestly, like, who throws the glove? You know, one of those things like, you know, in Austin Powers, where, yeah, you know, who throws the shoe? I kind of like it. You know, I feel like more people should just throw their gloves at each other. I think, you know, it's a healthy, safe way to kind of, you know, get your frustration off your chest.
Yeah, you know, obviously, it's without, you don't have 100% confirmation, but you have had a couple of beat writers basically say they got it from, and there was, I forget who for the, who was doing the broadcast, was it ABC or whatever, but ESPN vis-a-vis ABC, whoever they had between the benches, I don't know if it was AJ Malesko or someone else, but heard what was said, and I think sources have basically said it came down to that Marchand had said something of like, they don't even like you in your own country, basically alluding to, or Putin doesn't like you, basically alluding to everything politically that went down with Panarin last season. And I mean, you know, I think it's one of those things where Marchand in his head in the moment, he thinks it's more about like, oh, they don't even like you here. Whereas the reality, which he has no idea of, is definitely more scary. Clearly, it was scary enough that Panarin left the country to go make sure his family was okay because he felt they were in actual danger. So I think it's something that wasn't... Marchand just thinks he's being a little rat fuck, but thinks it's funny, but not really realizing that the reality must be much more serious for a guy like Panarin. It set him off. I've never seen Panarin that. Like, he was going with him the whole game, and it kept getting like more worse and worse. And, you know... So good for him for at least not taking it and throwing his glove at him. And I like seeing Panarin, you know, you could say what you will, Panarin sticking up for himself. And, you know, it's tough to, I think they asked him about it and he kind of spoke about it, but I don't know if it was something that was kind of lost in translation. It makes it hard for him to convey what really happened. And he said he wished the league would take it seriously because it's like, he basically said, it's not in my character to really even go after a guy like that ever. It's just you, when you say the stuff he was saying to me, like, you have no choice. It's like, you know, irreprehensible. So, but again, it was kind of hard for him to convey. And Strome even was kind of cryptic about it and said, it'll come out one day. And where he's like, it's basically not it's not my place to say, it's, you know, Panarin, if he's comfortable with it and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I mean,
it's just, you realize like how, they're children. Like, they really are. Like, I mean, like, that's really what you're going to chirp at Panarin.
It's, you know, it is very funny that regardless of that, hockey is a game that talks so much about, you know, prestige and honor and this and that. And yet we have guys, you know, throwing gloves at each other and biting each other. And like I said, I think hockey sometimes has a hard time reconciling all the talk of like, tradition, and we shake hands at the end, and then half the time they're slew footing each other and throwing helmets and gloves at each other and biting each other and licking each other in the face and like saying shit to each other on the ice. It's very funny. Whereas, you know, say what you will about the NBA and stuff, and it's softer, but you know, it's very seldom, you don't have the amount of guys that are potentially trying to either, you know, personally, emotionally, or physically injure someone on a you know, on a daily, nightly basis, as much as you see in the NHL. But, you know,
it's only LeBron.
Well, yeah, only LeBron. What's his face? Jokic with giving the forearm shiver to that other guy?
Oh, yeah. Who
tried to set a bad pick, hit him on his way back up the court. But it's hard to know how much if the league should fine Marchand without knowing what was said. I thought it was stupid. Honestly, the only person I'm really like outside of Marchand, because obviously I'm going to stick up for my boy Brad and say, you know, fuck Marchand. I don't care. It's like, it was worth every penny. He should have thrown both gloves and just paid 10, 10 grand. But,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Joe Haggerty for the whoever in Boston beat writer is such a punk. So, and he called Panarin a punk and said, you know, Rangers fans are the big soft babies and all this other dumb stuff. And yeah, the more that comes out, he just looks like a clown. And he is a clown. I guess he's their version of like Steve Simmons or something. But yeah, this week was a weird one between, you know, they're saying like Evander Kane is now on waivers, he's going to go somewhere to a team. He's going to be traded with some retention. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was Vancouver trying to right the ship by making one last disastrous move, even though they're like, you know. I mean,
well, at this point, it's like you might as well. I mean, it can't hurt you at this point. I mean, you're dead last in the standings. It's just, you know, it's kind of brutal there. And, you know, yeah. Not dead last in the league, but, you know.
The whole thing with D'Angelo was a guy who was considered nuclear, but Carolina dealt with the media firestorm or whatever you want to call it, or the they kind of weathered the negative PR storm and they've just effectively kind of put a muzzle on them. I don't think they even let them do post game interviews or whatever, but whatever. Or he just knew that he was stand to lose too much money, and now they're very happy to have him because he's performing for them. So I think maybe they're like, even though Evander Kane is between his antics and his personal life is a kind of a nuclear player right now, or he's too hot to handle, that ultimately his on ice play has been good and he can help them. So yeah, we'll see where he ends up, but yeah, very strange week for the National Hockey League. And it'll be interesting to see now with all the cases of COVID. Now there's all this there's a little bit of concern over whether, well, a COVID and needing to make up games, whether the league is losing its appetite to send players to the Olympics. And you also don't know if there'll be, you know, a boycott based on that athlete who her whereabouts are unconfirmed. Right. So it's a very strange time, but obviously for the Rangers, they just kind of need to keep it game to game and not look at the big picture so much and live and die. And honestly, in a lot of ways, for me, I've just wanted this team to take a step forward, and you can definitely see they have. And maybe you might not be totally happy with individual steps the players have taken in their own games individually, but I mean, we're, like I said, mentioned up off the top, you're kind of finally seeing the kids find that the kid line has found some consistency. Kako is looking dangerous on the top line, and yeah, I mean, the Hartford Wolfpack is absolutely killing it this season. Things are at least looking up. So, which is there's a lot of organizations in this league that are in a total chaos and disarray. The Canadians, clearly. Oh, my cat's trying to walk over my keyboard. Don't do that. The Canadians, the Coyotes are doing their best to race to the bottom. The Sabres are still not much better than, you know, they've been competitive at times, but they're ultimately not a very good team. So yeah, I would say the Rangers are pretty lucky. Everything they've done so far is, even though it's been at times, there's been some questions about it, seems to be working. They obviously do have to at some point here start generating more shots and maybe shore up the amount of chances they allow at times. But yeah, luckily they have a very good goaltender and they have some game-breaking talents, and they have one of the best defensemen in the league and one of the best forwards in the league, and they have the best power play guy in the league as of right now. So yeah, they have a lot going for them. So you'll have to see if they hit a rough patch in terms of some of the Riders scoring dries up. It's going to definitely be incumbent on them, their depth, to help them carry them through rougher stretches. So yeah, that's the big thing I'd be looking for, especially as the season drags on here.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.